Hello, this is Nikki Ambrose with the Danville Commercial News from Sunday, September 1st. The first article is from the front page titled Soaring the Skies in Gliders by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Hobbies can take many forms based on interest, skill, and level of adventure. For one group of aviation lovers, the Illini Glider Club takes to the skies about every weekend at the Vermilion Regional Airport and any other chances the members get. The club is a nonprofit organization established in 1948. It has about 37 members. Most are from the Champaign-Urbana area, but members also come here from as far as St. Louis, Missouri, and Cincinnati, Ohio. "We're tying Danville into the center of aviation activity," said club president Risa Farivar, who lives in Champaign-Urbana and is a University of Illinois adjunct member. "The gliders are not hang gliders, but they are like airplanes with longer wings and no engine," Farivar said. "The gliders are really lovely things. They are very different than what most people think," he said. According to the club's website, soaring is different from other forms of aviation in that the sailplanes lack an engine. At first glance, this may seem like a serious limitation, but a skilled sailplane pilot can fly for many hours and cover hundreds of miles by using subtle clues in their surroundings to locate updrafts. In other words, soaring is an ideal form of recreational sport aviation. Farivar said it's also less expensive. The Central Illinois Group has an office on the north end of the Cloud 9 Banquet and Conference Center at the airport off Bowman Avenue. The club started meeting at the airport late last year. "It's a very old organization," Farivar said about the club. He said it originally started in Champaign with University of Illinois members. Then it moved to Monticello. It was based in Monticello for decades before heirs of the Monticello airport owner decided not to continue use of the land as an airport. The airport closed last year, Farivar said. "I joined the club about 3 years ago, right at the time of transition," Farivar said. "We started the process of looking at alternative locations to host our club." He said it was a long process and took a lot of work. "The Vermilion County Regional Airport was quite friendly to hosting us," he added. The club moved to Danville late last year and earlier this year started operations again there. "We have four gliders," Farivar said. "Two are single-seat and two are two-seat gliders. They also have a fifth aircraft, a tow plane. We basically tie a rope to the end of the tow plane in front of the glider, and it pulls it up to 2,000 to 3,000 feet, Farivar said. "There is a lever in the glider to be released, and the rope releases, and we are on our own," he said. "The gliders stay up and climb in the thermals. Thermals are currents of air rising from a locally hot patch of ground." Farivar said the sun warms up the ground and the ground warms up the air around it. "Just like a cooking pot with steam going up, the surrounding air goes up and creates pockets of air. We stay in them and try to go up with them," he said about the soaring gliders. Farivar said with a glider's long wings, it has a very high lift. "We are coming down to the ground one way or the other, but at a very slow speed," he said. "The typical vertical speed that we are coming down to the ground is 150 feet per minute," he added, saying that that's about the speed of walking. "It can take about 20 minutes or so to come back down." He said it's Mother Nature's energy that the glider uses. Those driving by the Vermilion Regional Airport can sometimes see the gliders turning and turning for hours. "That's how we do it," Farivar said. "They try to have flying days on the weekends and sometimes during the week, too. One week in July, they flew every day." Farivar got involved with the club after seeing it at an airport. He's also a power pilot and flies small engine planes. "I stayed because it's a lot of fun," he said. He said aviation is expensive, but the prices the club charges are really affordable. He said other planes go from one place to the other. "This is similar to a sport," Farivar said, adding that at one time the gliders were looked at for the Olympics. "It's pretty much like sailing. It's a battle with you and Mother Nature," he said. Recently, the club has had groups from Champaign and Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit the airport for rides. Rides are priced at $80 and last 20 to 40 minutes, depending on the day's weather. Farivar said they are also looking for new members to join the club. A student membership for those younger than 22-year-old is $267 a year. A student membership for college and graduate students is $300. A full adult membership is $525 a year. There are no monthly aircraft rental or instruction fees. There are tow and material and examination fees. Everybody here is volunteering their time, Farivar said. The club's official flying season is 36 weeks long from March to December. However, it typically keeps the tow plane and one glider operating throughout the winters. This allows pilots, especially students, the opportunity to maintain their skill throughout the off-season. The club's office at the airport includes a virtual reality-based flight simulator that is available to club members for free. Glider flying is regulated by the Federal Aviation Administration like any other aviation. Instructors are FAA certified. The club starts training new members in the two-seater gliders until they are ready for solo flights. It's very well regulated. Safety is the number one concern, Farivar said. He also added, gliding is much more of a social activity. On a recent Friday afternoon, a ground crew sat and talked under a canopy while watching a glider after it launched. Jonathan Strandberg of Monticello said he likes anything involving aviation and flying. His kids are older now, allowing him more time to be part of the club, which he enjoys. Lowell Lamb of Tuscola also enjoys being involved with the club. He said flying gliders is the first time he's flown anything. It's a little challenging, some of it, Lamb said, but he gets a feeling of accomplishment when you start to understand and put things together when flying. He said he also feels safe. The next article from the front page is titled Seniors to Dress to Impress at Prom by Christopher Morikow, Danville. Not everyone attended prom in high school. However, thanks to Second Baptist Church, seniors 50 and older are about to get the chance. It's just to come out, dress up, and have a good time, said Harvetta Rose, one of the two contact people for the event. The senior prom, set for 6 to 9 p.m. September 14th at New Life Banquet Center, is going into its third year. And while this year's theme is Dress to Impress, Rose said that doesn't necessarily mean formal wear is required. She said, after five, attire is perfectly acceptable. She said when she started out organizing the prom, she soon had Second Baptist and other church members on board and has since been joined by other churches. This is Christian-based. We're not jumping around or rolling on the floor, she said with a laugh. Just come out and have fun. She said New Life, located at 1419 North Bowman Avenue, is the place to host a large gathering. Rose also said the music will be Christian-based and go back to the 1950s, relating a story of what happened at last year's prom. One of the guys has Alzheimer's, she said. The DJ played something from the 50s, and I tell you, he remembered the dance, he remembered his moves, and he just had a good time. Tickets will be $20 per person and can be purchased from any senior member of Second Baptist Church or by calling Rose at 217-304-8909 or Phyllis Blandon at 217-446-5706. Rose said she needs folks to purchase tickets in advance so she has a headcount to make arrangements for hors d'oeuvres, but that people will still be able to buy tickets at the door. Senior prom will just be some seniors having fun, she said. The next item is Rediscover Danville from the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, dated September 2nd, Beginning a Fall Weekend by Carol Nichols. What comes after the end of summer? The beginning of fall, of course, and the lineup of things to do this weekend reminds us fall is just around the corner. Friday night football openers include DHS taking on Urbana High School, BHRA versus Moments, Pythian Oakwood versus Warrensburg Latham, and Hoopston Area Coop Football versus Gilman. Enjoy roasting wieners and sipping wine at Sleepy Creek Vineyards on Friday evening beginning at 5 p.m. You buy the drinks, they provide the hot dogs, fixings, and fire to roast them. If you are too busy to come this weekend, you can still enjoy wieners and wine on Friday nights through October with free music from 6:30 to 8:30 each evening. Then go back on Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. to enjoy Vino and Vibes with Jess Nolan, an R&B singer-songwriter in the genre of Joni Mitchell and Carole King. See their Facebook page for details. Summer Sounds is over for the year, but First Fridays are back in downtown Danville. This month, the City of Danville and Downtown Danville, Inc. bring you First Fridays presents Downtown Danville Street Dance on Friday from 6:30 to 9 p.m. on North Street between Vermilion and Hazel Streets. The Dixie Flyer Band will be playing from 6:45 to 9:15 p.m., featuring music through the decades. If you find yourself sitting it out when line dances start because you never learned how to do them, now is your chance. Nancy Brain will be giving free line dance lessons from 5:30 to 6:30 near the bandstand on North Street. Adventure Arcade Escape Room will be open at Liftoff Downtown, 149 North Vermilion. If you get hungry or thirsty, stop in at Downtown Restaurant or slip into a nearby bar for a drink and bring your refreshments down with you to listen to the band. Don't forget your lawn chairs and check Downtown Danville Inc.'s Facebook page for more information. Saturday morning, enjoy the fall harvest from area growers at the Danville Farmers Market at 3613 North Vermilion from 8 a.m. to noon, where you will also find craft vendors and more. And or stop by Saturday morning Summer Sounds and Farmers Market next to the Danville Public Library from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and add some music to your shopping enjoyment. Both markets are on Facebook for more information. The area parks offer great outdoors events this weekend. The River to Rail bike ride starts Saturday at 7:30 a.m. at Kennecuck County Park for a 62-mile, 50-mile, or 32-mile route. The entry fee of $35 goes towards completion of the Kickapoo Rail Trail from Urbana to Danville. Forest Glen offers a public hayride beginning at LJK Visitor Center parking lot on Saturday at 7 p.m. for only $1 per person. Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., adults who have never hunted but wanted to learn can learn the skills involved in hunting deer with the Illinois Learn to Hunt Deer Program at Kickapoo State Recreation Area. Then, Sunday night, enjoy a free jazz concert by Doc Ashton and the Root Canals at Lincoln Park in Danville beginning at 6:30 p.m. Rediscover the wide variety of events with something for everyone available this fall in Vermilion County. All can be found at www.visitdanvillearea.com, the Danville Area Convention and Visitors Bureau calendar, or on Facebook. Next, we have the obituaries from the past few days from the Danville area. Dominic Bildely. Dominic Bildely, 87, of Danville, died Thursday, August 29, 2019, at OSF Sacred Heart in Danville. Funeral arrangements for the U.S. Air Force veteran were incomplete at Kruger Cone Pape Funeral Home and Crematory, 10 East William Street, Danville. Reginald Lewis. Reginald Lewis, 72, of Danville, died at 6:01 p.m. on Thursday, August 29, 2019, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street, Danville. Donna Coffey, Rossville. Donna Coffey, 64, of Rossville, died Thursday, August 29, 2019, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. Funeral services will be at 3 p.m. Tuesday at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street, Potomac. Pastor Dan Michael will officiate. Burial will be in Potomac Cemetery, Potomac. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Betty Ross, Washington Township, Ohio. Joanne Cox Ross from Caitlin was ushered into the presence of Jesus at age 88 on Saturday, August 24, 2019. A gathering of family and friends will be held at a later date in Caitlin with an interment of ashes at Caitlin Cemetery. To leave condolences for the family, please visit www.rootsong.com. Betty Sleva. Betty K. Sleva, 73, of Peoria, formerly of Westville, died Tuesday, August 27, 2019, at OSF St. Francis Hospital, Peoria. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Wednesday at Sunset Urbis Funeral Home Chapel, 414 South State Street, Westville. Burial will be in Sandusky Cemetery, Westville. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Wednesday at the funeral home. Michael Whitman, Danville. Michael Whitman, 42, died on Thursday, August 29, 2019. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street, Danville. Ruth Buck, Armstrong. Ruth Buck, 92, died Friday, August 30, 2019, at Country Health Care and Rehab, Gifford. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Thursday at St. Lawrence Catholic Church, 302 West Main Street, Penfield. Father Menner will officiate. Burial will be in St. Lawrence Cemetery, Penfield. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday at Blurton Funeral Home, 400 North Vermilion Street, Potomac. Shannon Burns. Shannon Marie Burns crossed over to eternal life on August 23, 2019, with family and close friends by her side. A celebration of Shannon's life will be at noon Tuesday, September 3rd at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Oakwood, 105 East South Main Street, Oakwood, Illinois, 61858, with Pastor Jim Blue officiating. Visitation will be 11 a.m. to noon Tuesday at the funeral home. Burial following at Bethel Cemetery, Indian Springs Road, Blount Township, Illinois. Donna Darlene Coffey. Donna Darlene Coffey, 64, of Rossville, passed away at 9:19 p.m. Thursday, August 29, 2019, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center. A celebration of Donna's life will be held at 3 p.m. Tuesday, September 3, 2019, at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac, with Pastor Don Michael officiating. Visitation will be from 1 to 3 p.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. Burial will be in Potomac Cemetery following the services. Emily E. Mock. Emily E. Mock, 93, of Peoria, passed away Saturday, August 10, 2019, at her residence. A celebration of life open house will be 2 to 3:30 p.m. Saturday, September 7th at Grand Regency of Peoria, formerly Courtyard Estates. Cremation rites have been accorded. Interment will be at Sunset Memorial Park in Danville at a later date. James K. Pribble. James K. Pribble, 59, of Covington, Indiana, passed away Monday, August 26, 2019, at his home in Covington. James will be accorded cremation rites and private family services will be held. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown, 200 East West Street, assisted his family with arrangements. And now returning to the news. Parade Set to Honor Workers by Jennifer Bailey. Danville's 84th Labor Day Parade's Grand Marshal is the city's newest mayor. Mayor Ricky Williams, Jr. will serve as the parade Grand Marshal when the parade steps off Monday morning. The Vermilion County Federation of Labor sponsors the largest downstate parade in Illinois on Labor Day on behalf of organized labor. The parade committee takes much time and pride in bringing the event to downtown Danville. The parade will step off at 9:30 a.m. Monday at Davis and Vermilion Streets, going south to end at Main and Vermilion Streets. Parade coordinator Connie Ostrander said they usually have about 70 to 80 groups participating in the parade. There will be plaques given out to award-winning floats and parade entries. The grandstand will again be near the Vermilion County Administration Building and the Vermilion County War Museum. Ostrander said they set aside the day to honor the hardworking people in the county. "It's to honor their hard work," she said. "The working men and women of this county are the backbone of this country." She said they hope attendees have a good time and they encourage people to come out and watch the parade. "See you on parade day," she said. Grand Marshal Williams is a Danville High School and Millikan University graduate. Upon graduation from Millikan, he was awarded a full fellowship to pursue a Ph.D. in political science at Emory University. From 2005 to 2006, he lived as a residential missionary, creating an after-school program in a complex like Fair Oaks. From 2006 to 2012, he served as the executive director of the Danville Boys and Girls Club. Williams then served as the CEO-CFO of Project Success from 2013 to 2019. Williams was an alderman in Ward 1 from 2009 to 2019, served as vice mayor from 2013 to 2017, and was elected mayor in April 2019. He has also served on various boards, including Vermilion Advantage and Danville Humane Society. The next article is Fountain County Shows Off History. Covington, Indiana. The Historical Committee of the Fountain County Art Council, Inc. announces the completion of the restoration of the showcases in the Fountain County Courthouse. There are 16 showcases. Each township in Fountain County is assigned a showcase to display pictures and historical items representing that township's contribution to the history of Fountain County. Also represented are different branches of the military and the people whose participation contributed to the weekdays. The 1842 Clerk's Building Museum also is available for viewing on the first Saturdays of the month, May through October, or by appointment. This museum, at 516 4th Street, Covington, houses Fountain County history and highlights Lew Wallace, a local resident of Covington during his early childhood and his business life as a beginning attorney. Wallace later became General Lew Wallace during the Civil War and published several books, including Ben-Hur. To schedule a tour, call 765-793-2710. Freedom of Our Country, A Brief History of the Wabash and Erie Canal as it passed through Covington, A History of the Four Fountain County Courthouses, and the works of Eugene Savage, originator of the courthouse murals, are also there. Visitors can now take a self-guided or virtual tour of the courthouse murals using a cell phone or computer. The website is fountaincountymurals.com. The Fountain County Art Council, Inc. invites all to visit the courthouse to see the showcases and the historic murals depicting life of our early settlers. The courthouse is open 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, or you can call 765-493-4432 for hours. Next, we have something from the sports page. Storm overcomes pressure. Hageman wins first game as Salt Fork head coach, by Marvin Holman. Caitlin, to say that Salt Fork's first game under the Joe Hageman era was full of pressure would be an understatement. Hageman, who saw his father, Dan Hageman, honored before the game for his 50 years of service to the Storm football program, had to buckle down and coach against South Beloit. After a slow start, the Storm got going and would go on to beat South Beloit 38-14 Saturday in a non-conference action. It added some extra pressure to the game, but it was great to have a really nice crowd to support the team, and it is great to have a great fan base, Joe Hageman said. The Sobos scored first on a run by Harlan Southworth, but Hageman said the players only responded positively from that. I think we had a lot of kids who didn't have a lot of varsity experience play today to start, Hageman said. As they started to settle down, I thought they did a great job, especially the defensive and offensive lines in taking over the game. The offensive line kept things open for running back Tate Johnson as he took over the game. Johnson would have four scoring runs and 180 yards on the ground as the Storm pulled away. Brady Tevabau hit a field goal, and Josh Weller would return an interception 11 yards for the last score of the game. Once they got through the nerves, I thought our first-year varsity players settled down well, and it gave us a chance to be successful because they gained a lot of confidence, Joe Hageman said. Dan Hageman was honored before the game for his various roles in the program in the last 50 years by players now and in the past as well. When you stop and think about a man who has been in one place for 50 years, it is an amazing amount of time, Joe Hageman said. To look at the former players who helped honor him, it just reminds you that high school football is more than wins and losses. It is about the young men that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, and then seeing these people as they come back and see the adults they have turned into. That is the ultimate definition of success, and what I hope my dad saw was that success because everyone came back to honor him for his hard work. The Storm will now focus on Watseka next week, who defeated Oakwood 28-21 on Friday. One of the biggest changes is that you had 3 weeks to prepare, and now you have 1 week to prepare for every team, Joe Hageman said. Watsika is a very good team, and they beat a great Oakwood team on Friday, so it will be a challenge for us to go up to a bigger 2A school, and it is our first road test against a great football team. The next article is also sports from the News Gazette from Sunday, September 1st, titled Getting After It, Georgetown Ridge Farm Juniors Wrestling Recruitment Picks Up by Colin Likas. Georgetown. Hayden Kopes is a highly sought after at this point in his high school wrestling career. Just how intrigued are Division I colleges in gaining approval from the Georgetown Ridge Farm Jr.? Look at the case of the University of Illinois coaching staff for an example. We had previously set it up for an actual home visit, but our schedules kind of didn't work out, Kopes said. And then they wanted to do it anyway, so they showed up at the fair. That'd be the Georgetown Fair. While Kopes was on break from his duties working at an ice cream trailer, we just sat down at the table and did a little home visit, Kopes said with a laugh. Illinois is one of several high-level institutions attempting to earn a verbal commitment from Kopes, who is readying for his third year grappling with the Westville-Georgetown Ridge Farm Cooperative. Kopes has drawn outsiders' eyes through his results thus far in IHSA competition and beyond. He's coming off a Class 2A 285-pound state runner-up effort earlier this year, losing only to three-time state champion Luke Luffman, now an Illini, the entire season. One of my biggest things is maturing, wrestling-wise, Kopes said. Working with Luffman, that definitely helped mature me. Something else changing for Kopes in his 2019-2020 campaign will be the foes he faces come postseason time. That's because the Westville-Georgetown Ridge Farm Co-op is moving down from Class 2A to 1A. Kopes sees this as a challenge, offering the opinion 1A heavyweight will be tougher than 2A this season because of the number of returning state medals. Kopes was the only Georgetown Ridge Farm kid suiting up in a Westville singlet each of the previous two seasons. I think we have a few incoming freshmen, Kopes said. It'd be great. It sucks being the lone Buffalo, but I'm friends with most of the guys at Westville. Kopes still desires to go undefeated and top the field, as he was close to doing last year. Something else Kopes wouldn't mind experiencing is an influx of Buffaloes on the co-op's roster. And that's the Danville Commercial News for Sunday, September 1st. This has been Nikki Ambrose, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.